Hi, I'm Christian Dante White.
Hey guys, this is Christiani Pitts.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn Beal.
Hi, this is Brittany Johnson, and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Call and Response Season 4, y'all. I've missed y'all. I've missed these conversations. I mean, we've really been cooking up some exciting interviews, and I can't wait to dive into the season with y'all. We even have a fancy new website. Check it out at callandresponsepodcast.com to check out all of the podcast guests. You know, it felt time. It felt right to kind of upgrade you for season 4, so check that out. I mean, it's truly all of those new season, new us kind of vibes. But one thing that hasn't changed, our friends at Gold Star are still giving love and support to Call and Response, and they're still popping off with affordable ticket offers to stellar events. They've got so many different options that might tickle your fancy, whether it's the First Ladies of Jazz and Blues, the Harlem Gospel Choir, or even the boy band brunch at Green Room 42, and so much more. So download Gold Star and let's make some memories, y'all. I can't believe, I'm not getting my feelings about it just yet because I will probably cry during this podcast at some point because, as I always say, I am so hyped, I am so thrilled, I am so, so excited to introduce today's guest for a variety of reasons, but it's just, there's so many talented people in this industry, y'all, and everyone's there to uplift and support each other. And this woman in particular, I'm so excited to talk to because she's become like almost a beacon for the community. And I don't want to put that pressure on you, but like just knowing the love that is in this community, she's definitely at the center of it, which we will get to in a second. But anyways, enough of my extra intro. Please welcome Broadway actress Brittany Johnson.
Hi.
That intro was so extra. I'm so sorry, but I was getting into my feelings.
I was blushing a little bit.
Were you? Yes. I mean, it's we'll warm up and get into why I was so intense about all that just now. But I'm really excited to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. I want to know. I love to start these podcasts with how did you get involved in performing arts?
Well, that goes back to before I can talk. I've been told.
I love it.
Well, I've been told I've been singing since before I can talk.
Okay.
But the acting, and particularly the theater, came later for me. Mm-hmm. Really not until, I'd say, middle and high school. I did really my first musical in high school.
Oh, okay.
It was Les Mis.
I love that. Cosmic moments happening.
Yeah. I played Fantine.
Oh, okay.
And that was really, I think, the moment for me when I was like, okay, I think this is the path that I want to take. And yeah. I started really looking seriously at colleges,
yeah,
specifically for theater and acting training.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to NYU for
NYU
Tisch. Shout out to NYU Tisch.
Yes. Ken Gash is a podcast alum.
Oh, okay.
Jelani Aladdin, yeah.
Yeah, he directed me in Tommy.
The Who's Tommy?
Yes.
Ooh, I'd love to see that production.
It was fantastic.
Oh, man. So when you were exploring musical theater and in Les Mis, who were some of those like musical theater inspirations that you were looking up to? Like, who were you first discovering?
You know, my mom was obsessed with The Sound of Music.
Ugh. Yes.
And so Julie Andrews was my very first love.
I love that.
And I didn't really know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't, you know, we weren't necessarily a big theater family.
Mm.
No one else in my family does this or mm-hmm. anything even remotely close to this.
Okay.
So I wasn't really exposed to a whole lot of theater and soundtracks except the ones that were made into movies.
Gotcha. Right. Because that's more like accessible in that way.
Right. So, yeah. You know, I knew The Wiz. I knew Cats.
Iconic.
Right. I knew The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
That's what I knew about musical theater.
Yeah.
Until high school and musicals, and I started doing musicals in high school. I feel like I have a memory of doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at like some regional, like little thing somewhere.
Right.
I feel like I have a memory of that.
Right.
So I'm sure I did that. I mean, I've my mom would really call me a drama queen, so I'm sure that she was always trying to put me on somebody's stage, and I was always trying to fight her. I was like, no, please don't. I don't want to do it.
Right.
And then I would do it, and I'd be like, thank you so much, Mom.
Yes, yes. I love that. Taking the bath and being like, I'm here. I'm in this. Did you give, like, living room performances ever growing up?
I don't think I did.
You would just, like, watch Sound of Music.
I mean, I loved to sing. I would sing it. And, you know, people were always asking me to sing, and I would happily oblige them and sing.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a big, like, come here and listen to me. It was more okay. of, like, oh, you caught me singing. Oh, you caught me. And then I would do it.
Yeah.
Or if, you know, I did, I played Annie in, some, like, a church musical.
Right, right.
And I mean, I was always shy about it.
Really?
Yeah.
So then in Les Mis, I mean, did you just feel, what do you feel like took you, I guess, out of your shell a little bit in that way?
That just, there's something about that music. Mm-hmm. You don't have really any choice.
Right, right.
Except to just engulf yourself in it and just be, and I mean, singing I Dreamed a Dream, mm-hmm. even at, I mean, how old? I was like 16.
Right.
It's just, it's so powerful mm-hmm. that I think that really was the first moment that I understood acting a song.
Okay.
And not mm-hmm. just singing, like yeah. telling a story.
Yeah.
Because you can, Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston were like my gals.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And they tell stories, and you can absolutely tell a story, you know, singing Always Be My Baby. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's something different when it is a theater piece.
Yeah.
And when it's something that is as well written as Les Mis.
No kidding. So then, cosmic moment, cut to you being in the revival.
Yeah.
What did you think that first bow for Les Mis on Broadway?
Well, actually, going back, the Les Mis tour, the 25th anniversary tour, that was actually my first job right out of college.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it was one of those, like, oh my gosh.
Full circle.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I understudied Eponine on the tour.
Okay.
And then when I came back to Broadway, mm-hmm. I played Eponine and I understudied Fantine.
That is like... That is circle of life shit right there. That's amazing.
It was crazy. Yeah. And I did get to go on for Fantine one time.
Okay.
And I actually played Eponine I played Fantine at the matinee, and then I played Eponine for the evening show.
Oh my goodness.
But just to get to do it on Broadway.
Of course.
Was like that. Yeah. You know, yeah. They can't see this because it's a podcast.
There is a hand gesture, y'all. There's a hand gesture.
It's like a full circle.
Yes. Use y'all's imagination. I feel like Les Mis 2 is one of those shows that is very chill when it comes to casting, in the sense of like Lea Salonga doing it back in the day. You know, there's always, and Nicki M. James for that matter. When you were doing it in high school, did you know about the color conscious casting choices that they were doing? Or when you got to the tour, you're like, oh, this is dope that I'm in this role.
I don't remember having any kind of thought about what I could and couldn't do based on the industry standards mm-hmm. until I got to New York, mm-hmm. until college.
Okay.
I mean, I just was like, this is what I want to do. I'm talented to do this. And I've been given a gift. So let me go out and do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go to schools like NYU and it's all the same people. It's the top people from all of their high schools. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to a performing arts high school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's all of their top people and they're going to all the top musical theater schools. So we're all coming to it from the same angle. So everybody comes in and they've been the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're all with the best in a city of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So I honestly didn't have any.
You didn't put any limitations on yourself.
I didn't.
Which
is
great.
I didn't put any limitations on myself until I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it for myself and experienced it for myself.
What were some of those experiences that, like, enlightened you in that way, I guess?
Honest, I would say my first real insight into it was scene study in college when I realized how unrealistic all of the scene work that I was getting was. And I started realizing, oh, people of color haven't really played these roles before. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, my teachers can't really find things for me or that they can imagine me in.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I played Lady T. Like, there's just no reason why I should ever be playing that. But, that's when I first got a taste of it. And then my eyes started really being open when I was actually going to see Broadway shows. And I was like, I don't see anyone that looks like me.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
And it was really discouraging, honestly. And then In the Heights.
Hey, yo. Check 1, 2, 3.
I saw that show 10 times on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I think it was the first thing that I was ever that passionate about. Because like I said, I didn't grow up. I wasn't like a theater kid. Right. I didn't, you know.
Right.
That show changed. It just changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, she looks like me and she looks like me. And I mean, she kind of looks like me, but like, I mean, put me in a wig, it'll be fine. And
right.
And I was like, all right, there's space for me here. And it's not, you know, I love The Color Purple, but it's not like, you know, playing this like slave or like, it's right. Not, it's like just being a real human person.
Right.
Having a human experience.
Absolutely.
On stage.
It's not about the struggle of being black.
Yes.
Yeah, or of a person of color, I guess I should say. It's like, we are people of color, and we are just having normal human interactions.
Right. Because the whole beauty of being an actor, I think, is that you naturally bring your own experiences and your own worldview into whatever character that you're playing. You can't not. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like with Glinda, for example, my Glinda is unlike any other Glinda, just like anyone else that plays it. It's unlike any other Glinda because our lives are different. Right. We bring different backgrounds to the role.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't actually remember what your original question was.
But that's okay. I love where we ended up. And it is interesting how many people, just from interviews I've done for work or for the podcast, like so many folks cite In the Heights as being inspirational. So like, shout out to Lynn, because I'm sure you're listening.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to work with you in the future.
Let him know. Yes, Lynn. Okay. Because I think it is such an influential piece for that very reason. Because it feels modern and it feels real. And anyway, I just love In the Heights, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But... was your first audition while you were at NYU for Les Mis the tour? Or had you gone on other auditions while you were here?
My first audition was for Ragtime.
I mean, another classic.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
It was my very first audition and my very first Broadway callback.
And how did that moment feel?
I mean, obviously, I mean, I was 18 and yes. I was really, really feeling myself. I was like, huh? Okay, so I can do this. I am real. And also, Your Daddy's Son is like the song that got me into college. So
okay, okay.
It's like, okay, yes.
You're like, I'm in it.
It's my moment.
Yeah.
And I got into the callback and I was so nervous because there were so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm sure I froze or I thought I was acting, but I really wasn't. And then we did some of the scenes and I like broke at the end too soon. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, just for your future auditions, just, you know, just make sure that you hold the moment at the end.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there. I was like, all right, so let me just go back to class.
That's because I was wondering, I was like, do they send y'all on auditions at NYU? And they do. Like,
oh, no.
You're in it.
They don't encourage that.
Oh, really? So you were, so that was a you're feeling yourself moment. You're like, I'm going to do this no matter what.
Well, it was Ragtime.
I mean, fair enough.
I didn't want to let it go. And part of the reason I went to NYU is because I wanted to immerse myself in this city and this life because I wasn't exposed to it before.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the first year in New York for you as an 18-year-old, just in general, like in life? You don't have to tell anyone if you had a fake ID. I'm just like,
no, I didn't.
Like?
Honestly, I've been such a goody-goody my whole life.
I love it.
I was like in my dorm room by 10 o'clock, like on the phone with my mom. Like I was like really good.
It sounds like you're really close with your mom.
I am. We're close.
Aw, shout out to moms. Moms are the best. Were you like very focused? You were a very diligent student.
I was. Yeah. And I have a minor in psychology. So I was like, there wasn't a lot of time for
shenanigans around the city.
Right.
How do you think your psychology degree has played into your work as an artist?
Oh my goodness. So much. Just because I feel like as a human being, I feel that I am a lot more in tune as to why people are the way that they are,
uh-huh,
and why they make the decisions that they make.
Totally.
And just for character development and understanding, especially my scene partners.
Yeah.
I think it gives me a lot more empathy as an actor,
mm-hmm,
to just try to understand why is this person yelling at me?
Yeah.
What, you know, it's coming from a different place, and I think it makes me respond differently.
Right. Knowing the different perspectives.
Yeah.
But I just think that's so fascinating.
I mean, I think it comes into play in lots of little ways.
Mm-hmm. Like in rehearsals?
In rehearsals especially.
Yeah.
And even just when I play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call it when I go on. I get to play.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great way of thinking
about
it.
And especially as a standby, since I don't get to go on very much.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go on, I want to find something different, and I want to play.
Explore
I want to play and explore it and see what works and what doesn't and what makes sense.
Yeah.
And when I was on for the week, the other week, oh my gosh, the time is moving.
Yeah.
I was able to find different moments,
mm-hmm,
every day,
mm-hmm,
because based on what the other person was giving me, when you're not, you know, set in like your reading of how, you know, I'm going to say the line like this.
Right,
you know,
right.
Then you're able to just honestly respond.
Yeah.
And so I was trying different things based on what I was being given.
By like your fellow actors in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's just like dive right into it because I can't contain it any longer. You are the first Black Glinda for Wicked the musical. I'm gonna let that sit. That's amazing. It's amazing in the sense of like it's a huge accomplishment / honor for you. But do you feel, because at the same time it's like, do you feel pressure being the like having this big title of the first Black Glinda?
I think maybe I yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am trying not to allow myself to.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I mean, having this honor and, first of all, making Broadway history in any capacity is like, my mind is just.
Of course.
Just constantly blown. I mean, anytime, just you saying it just now, I was like, oh, wait. Oh, that's me. Oh my God.
Yes, girl. Yes, girl.
You can't focus on it too, mm-hmm, much, because, mm-hmm, then it becomes something that is so big that it is bigger than you.
Right.
And I don't think that's healthy for lots of reasons. But I'm so honored to be the first, but I'm also very uninterested in being the last.
There you go.
And so,
mm-hmm,
I certainly don't try to downplay it, and, mm-hmm, I certainly want it to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need it to, I don't need # Black Glinda to be the thing, because I want Glinda to be any shade or color that she wants to be without qualification.
Absolutely.
She is a personality, and in essence, she's a person.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter if she's black or purple. The only color she can't be is green.
That's true.
So
yeah, that's so true.
So I'm so excited to have made that history and to have, you know, pushed that door down and, like, laid down some carpet and, like,
right,
you know,
pink carpet.
Some pink carpet. And, you know, for other people to come after me.
You want it to be open now.
I want it to be open. Like, mm-hmm, I want us to stop qualifying made up characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. They're made up. Let's just have some fun.
Right. Let's just, like, but understand their essence and, like, understand the truth of the character and the situation. Yeah. Like you were saying. Yeah.
And, like, allow people with, like we were talking about earlier, with different backgrounds and different life stories, mm-hmm. bring something else into these characters and breathe new life into them. I think that's so important.
Absolutely.
And it's teaching our audiences not to have preconceived notions mm-hmm. and to recognize their biases, mm-hmm. to recognize their prejudices,
mm-hmm.
and then to move on from them.
Yeah.
Or not, but at least they're able to recognize that maybe they had them. It's yeah. just, honestly, theater, it's just supposed to provoke thought, and it's supposed to teach you something about yourself.
Yeah.
And like whether or not you choose to grow from it or change for good.
Yes. Then the reference.
I mean, that's your prerogative, but it's our job to at least give you something to think about.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Glinda was always the role of people being like, well, she's blonde, so it doesn't make sense. And it's like, I remember actually Danae Benton, shout out, podcast alum, we did a Broadway Con live show 2 years ago, and we were talking about this kind of thing, like, does physical characteristics limit roles for people of color? And she was like, Beyonce's blonde, so we can have a black Linda.
Beyonce is totally blonde.
You know what I'm saying?
And so am I.
Yeah. And it's like, it's possible. So that just felt like such a barrier to be broken of, like, y'all thought you could get away with saying, oh, she's blonde, she can't be black. But no. She can, and she's going to thrive, you know? But yeah, it was, I was there, your history making night.
Oh.
And look, I got so many texts, like, black theater Twitter was on fire. And that's what I was saying, you know, at the beginning of, like, you being this beacon. And I mean to put you on a pedestal, but I don't mean to, like, make you feel stressed out with that. But it was just such an important moment for the community to celebrate.
Absolutely.
You know, and you were like the leader of the charge in that, which I loved, because all the faces I saw in that theater that night, we were so hype, and we were I cried during the curtain call.
I cried, yes, girl. I was weeping.
Well,
once the curtain came down, I'm pretty sure I collapsed onto the ground. I was a puddle in my blue dress, just like
Do you remember that night, like, at all?
I remember the opening.
Yes.
And I remember curtain call.
Honestly, fair enough, though. Like, fair
enough.
I think
I remember little bits and pieces, but all I remember when your preset up there in the beginning, all I remember is being like, okay, Brittany, you are Glinda. Mm-hmm. Who is Glinda? And I took a moment and I did, like, my little, like, pre-show. I'm not going to, like, tell you my secrets, but, like,
no.
there are things that I do up there to really get me into character and drop me down into, you know, it's my moment before.
Totally.
And so I just wanted to make sure that I didn't descend as Brittany playing Glinda.
Gotcha.
Because I knew if I did, I would just start crying, mm-hmm. and then we would have had to hold the curtain for 10 minutes because
right.
I'd
been like, thank you so much.
And we would have never been able to tell the story of Wicked.
Right.
And it is about Wicked. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
It's not about, like, Brittany's playing Glinda in
right.
Wicked. It's like,
right. You were ready to tell the story.
Yeah. And yeah. And honestly, for the purposes of being the first black Glinda, that was even more important to me,
mm-hmm.
to tell the story,
mm-hmm.
and not make the story into the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, let's have the moment and let's celebrate the moment, but especially for everyone that is going to come after me,
mm-hmm.
I knew that my job was to play Glinda authentically and to tell that story.
Right.
We can do the interviews after. We
yes.
can scream and cry and jump up and down. All of those things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And well, let's do that after.
Right.
Because let's show them that it does not matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I was like,
zoned in.
I'm Glinda because I need to be for everyone else.
Yeah. Well, there was a family sitting behind me, and they were like, I think, was it Katie Rose Clark was the Glinda at the time,
mm-hmm.
I think. And they, like, saw her photo, and they were like, that didn't look like her on stage. And I was like, no, her name's Brittany Johnson, at Sunny Brittany on Instagram. Learn about it. But it was one of those, I totally know what you mean, because for the people who didn't know what was going mm-hmm. on, it was like, you were giving a Broadway performance. You know, it wasn't this, like, I mean, it was a history-making night no matter what, but for them, it was like, they're just getting a performance from Wicked.
Right. And that's important to me every single time that I go on. And yeah. I mean, it's important. It's so important for me that people of color get to come and see it. Mm-hmm. But it's important to me that people of all colors get to see it.
Yeah.
Because like I was saying earlier, like, you have to get your perceptions shaken up so that mm-hmm. you can learn something.
Right. And it's interesting, like, it was, and maybe I just had, like, my analytical, like, college academia lens on, but it was interesting to see that story reinterpreted, like, the story that we all know and love so much, reinterpreted just with little nuances. Like, the other part that got me weeping was the Ozzfest ballroom, when Elphaba's standing there by herself, and Glinda goes up to dance with her, and it just felt even more special in that moment, with it being a Black woman. I mean, there's just so many little nuances, but the story, the integrity of the story still was there. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Absolutely.
Like, that doesn't change.
Right.
Just like with Ayesha Jackson being Princess Anna in Frozen. You know, it's just so important.
It really is.
To have these moments.
It's important.
And I told Brittany before recording, I might start crying. I'm trying to keep it together. But I remember when I first learned about Wicked in high school, like, I was drawn to Glinda more, like, as her essence, like you said. And I don't know if I necessarily ever thought, like, oh, I'm biracial, I can play her. But, like, once I started learning more about the industry and about the show, I realized it was always, like, white women playing her. So I just, ooh, I am getting choked up. But it just, I just thinking about all of the young women that you were inspiring is great, you know?
It inspires me, honestly.
Yeah. Have you had any great, like, stage stories, stage door stories?
So many. Oh. So many. It's, like, my favorite part.
Yes.
Knowing that I get to go out and actually, you know, put faces together and yeah. people who, you know, reach out to me on social media.
Yeah.
And I do see everything. That I read everything. I can't respond to everything, but I do right. see everything.
Yeah.
It takes me some time to get through it sometimes.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, it's so inspiring, and it encourages me to keep going, and mm-hmm. it encourages me in those times when I feel defeated, and when yeah. I, you know, still when I go to auditions and I don't get the parts for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and or when I can't even be seen for things, like, that still happens. Mm-hmm. And it's still something that I think as an industry we need to work on. And I think we're moving in the right direction. And I think that my being in this role and Ayesha being in that role, I mean, like, all of the ways that we're being more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's pushing the needle forward, because it's showing that it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just giving you another option.
Right.
It's like allowing, I mean, when I, you know, take these acting classes and these, like, casting classes, and I'm a coach too. I'm an audition coach.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we always say, like, you have to go in and be the character, because casting does not have imagination.
Mm.
And I've heard this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
My whole acting career since I've been in New York. And while there may be some truth to it, I think it's a little bit unfair.
Hmm.
I think maybe they don't have imagination because they haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you know how to see something you've never seen it? Like, if I didn't know that this was yellow, there's a yellow cup on the table. If I didn't know that that was yellow, like, I wouldn't know what to call it. I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing me play Glinda, even seeing me blonde,
mm-hmm.
shows casting and shows, you know, hopefully new directors and writers and things that, like, oh, we can just put him in a wig.
Right. It sounds simple, but
it sounds
yeah.
simple, but I mean, my entire look changes depending on what color my hair, or if it's curly, or if it's straighter, you know?
Right, right.
And it's just, people need to be able to see it so that they can be like, oh, we can call her in for this. We can call him in for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. So a lot of our listeners are, like, aspiring artists and wanting to move to New York and things like that. So what kind of advice or, like, tips, guidelines would you give to them for pursuing this career?
Get yourself a pair of really comfortable walking shoes.
Ooh, that's real.
Yeah. And I mean, I do mean that, but you know, New York is its own animal, mm-hmm. and especially for the performer and the artist. Yeah. It's a different life.
Yeah.
And it's one that requires thick skin and passion. And honestly, you just have to believe in yourself. It sounds so cliche and silly, but there are so many things that are going to tear you down. And there are so many no's that you might get before you get yes.
Right.
Even me auditioning for Les Mis, I auditioned for that show for like 3 years before
really?
I got it.
Whoa.
I probably auditioned at least 15 times over the course of many years.
Holy moly.
And, you know, people are going to say no. And it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with, I mean, maybe they're replacing somebody and you're too tall. Like, it literally, wow. like, sometimes it's literally that. Because yeah. costumes are expensive to make. So,
right.
like, it, re- but it just, it requires a passion. If you can see yourself doing anything else, go and do that. Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's worth it, but it is hard.
What do you do in those moments where you get the no's and the rejections? Like, what are your self-care practices?
I really like brownies.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll go get myself a brownie.
Yes, that's real. That is so real.
Honestly, you just have to have other things that you're doing and that you love. And like, I have lots of side projects. I coach. I wrote a little book.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
I know it's not published yet. But
oh,
I'm yes. just, it's a little teaser because it's going to come out. So.
Okay. Everyone, get your pre-orders ready. I didn't know you wrote a book.
I mean, it's like super short. It's like tips for, just like a couple tips for,
own
for
that.
The actor. You know,
claim that, please. That's very cool.
So it's like doing stuff like that and finding ways. For me, it's like finding ways to give back to people.
Mm-hmm.
That is what kind of helps me.
Yeah.
In those moments, because I'm like, okay, so I didn't get that, but like I'm still useful and valuable in this industry and
right.
in the things that I know and that I've learned, and I can still encourage other people. I can still yeah. help them get better.
Yeah.
And then maybe I book something yeah. and that's awesome. And then I get to have fun and, you know,
and play. Yeah. What has been one of those like artistic experiences that you feel like you've just learned and grown so much from?
That's hard. Because I learn in every single one of them. But my very first Broadway show, I was a swing.
Okay.
And I.
For Motown, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You did your research.
I'm not here.
So I covered 7 tracks plus Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed. I knew 8 tracks times. And day to day, I never knew who I would be playing or if I would be upstairs in my dressing room eating hot chocolate and Chinese food, because that was my go-to.
All right. Yes.
I just order some pineapple fried rice, that make myself a little bit of hot chocolate, and that was my day.
That is self-care, okay?
That is,
you know.
So I'm still known to have some pineapple fried rice from time to time.
There you go.
I think I learned so much from that experience because that was also a very long audition process for me.
Oh, really? How long was it?
Over a year.
Wow.
Because I booked something in between.
Mm.
I went to Vegas and did Mamma Mia. And I had been auditioning for Motown before that.
And then you left.
Didn't get it. Left. Did Vegas.
Gosh.
And then they were like, we want to bring her back in. And
oh,
I came back
wow.
in. And I don't think I was auditioning for The Swing the very first time. I think I was auditioning for one of the tracks that was the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back in, and then, I mean, the packet was like, it was like a book
mm-hmm.
to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and I remember feeling, I just remember having this sense of peace either way.
Hmm.
And I think it was one of my first times really feeling that, because I was like, you know, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna have a good time. I remember I did not know there was gonna be a dance call, and
ooh.
I did not have the right shoes. I had these like stiletto things that like you should not be dancing in, but I was like, well, this is what I have, so I guess I'm gonna go dance.
We're gonna yes and,
you know, and
right.
I did my best, and mm-hmm. I just was bringing myself, and I was having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't thinking about if I book it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm going to just have fun.
Right.
Because by that time, I'd been in so many times that it was like, you know, they may call me again in a month. They may call me again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I booked it. That's when I booked Les Mis, too. I remember I walked in. I was that's like, hey, crazy. Guys, how are ya?
Right.
Because at that point, I was like, you can't hear me sing On My Own another. There's no other way. This is how I sing it.
Yeah.
And that was the time that I booked it.
When you kind of just like release it to the universe almost. It,
yeah.
You know? Wow.
But back to your question. I learned so much from that first show, covering so many parts, because I learned to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And to just be present on stage when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times where it was five and they, you know, in the loudspeaker, Brittany, we need you to, you know,
right.
And you can't panic. You can, all you can do is go, okay. And just put your makeup on and go and do the play.
Dang.
And just knowing that many parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on for every single one of them except for one.
No kidding. Oh my gosh. That's wild.
So after that, you need me to learn two parts? Okay. Yeah, I can learn two parts.
Right.
It just made everything, it just put everything else into perspective. I was like, I can do this. I can do, if you can be a swing on Broadway, you can do anything.
Let them know.
Shout out to my swings, my swing brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You guys are the real MVPs.
Yes. we love a swing. So you've been, like you said, your first show was Motown. You've done Beautiful, Sunset Boulevard, Les Mis, and do you find, and I ask this question often on the podcast, and I don't know if it's a fair question, but I'm always just curious, like race matters in Beautiful and Motown in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like they're like I central to the plot. Sorry, yeah. I'm like over explaining this question. but like as an actor, do you find a difference when you're taking on these roles of like, if it's kind of like we were talking about earlier, like the Black struggle versus once we're quote race doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely there's a difference, but I think a lot of that comes from the book, because I always just start with what I'm given.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are certain things that are referenced, those are the things that I'm going to take most to heart.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes to things that I kind of have to fill in the blanks for myself, and if we are set in a real time period, mm-hmm. then yeah, I can bring those actual historic elements into them.
Mm-hmm.
But in shows and roles where I'm playing a character and I happen to be a woman of color, then that's just me, Brittany,
mm-hmm.
who, what might I do if I was in this set of circumstances and I had these givens based on what is in the book? How would I react to this?
Yeah.
So I guess that just comes down to my personal experience as a person of color. But it's not necessarily the historical, you know, struggle. Because, I mean, everybody struggles. Like, we all, it's very different to each person. We've all experienced life in very different ways.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of goes back to the whole idea of, like, busting the monolith of blackness, like, you know, mm-hmm. black people aren't all the same, so they're going to even approach historically like black characters in different ways.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And I think that is definitely one thing that I am trying to, I guess, carve out a groove in as I make my way through this industry. I'm trying to help people see that blackness isn't just one shade and experience, and you can't just put on a black wash.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And what any race is as a people.
Mm-hmm.
We're all unique individuals. Like, you would never cast, you know, somebody else as something and say, okay, but like, could you make it more like, you know, I mean, what the word that I always get is like, could you just be like sassier, like a little like more urban, just like bring like more of you to it? And I'm like, well, I was being me. So if there's something else that you would like me to be, please give me a direction to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is an assumption, because of a lot of the stereotypes that people of color have been written to play. Mm-hmm. And because we can't get cast in anything else, that's what we do.
Right.
And so that has become, oh, this is what the black best friend does and how she is. Mm-hmm. And really, we can do anything.
And it's a sacrifice to say no. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It is a big sacrifice to say no. And I've said no to a lot of things because, like, I'm not going to disrespect myself like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. My grandma's going to see this. I'm not doing that.
Right. Right. Well, it's interesting to hear you say, too, like, when they say, oh, be X, be Y, like, be more sassy or sassier, you know, or more urban or whatever, and then say, bring more you. That's interesting to me because, like, I've definitely had conversations before where, like, okay, they were expecting this type of energy, you know, whether it is like sassy or whatever, but then connecting it like it's inherently in you just because you're black is like,
right,
noted, you know, and mm-hmm. like, how are we going? I mean, I always come back to, like, I guess it's writing our own stories about, like, how there's a multitude of black people that exist. Like, it seems simple, but.
Yeah.
You know.
And a multitude of voices. This is, mm-hmm. I mean, this Wicked is really the first time I've gotten to use this part of my voice. I got to use it a little bit in Sunset, mm-hmm. but everything else has been that, you know, more like belty, mm-hmm. you know, like Broadway sound.
Right.
And that's not how I was originally trained.
Oh, wow.
This is actually where I am more comfortable and where wow. I feel more me. I mean, it's like pop. It's like Mariah Carey or Glinda. So but this is the first time that I've had an opportunity mm-hmm. to do this.
Showcase that.
And now that people know and have heard me do it, now I'm getting auditions to play these kinds of characters, which is so exciting. Wow. And I'm hoping that I'm not the only person of color on that, you know, list.
Right.
But it is. It's just showing them, oh, Yeah, okay, yeah, of course we can bring more people in. We just kind of assumed, mm-hmm. based on the other things on my resume, mm-hmm. what I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nikki Renee Daniels is the podcast alum. but during her episode, she told a story of how, like, I think she was in college and she wanted to audition for Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And they were like, "Who?" I don't know if it was her professor or whoever it was. The director was like, we're looking for a classic beauty. Like, you can't do the part. But, like, she has the perfect voice for it. And she told me that story.
Also,
and I was
like, what does that mean, classic beauty? Like, am I not beautiful?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me I'm too short. Tell me, like, I'm not going to fit into the dress. Tell me something like that. Do not say classic beauty. Because then I'm not even going to say what I wanted to say.
Like, breathe it out.
Like, you can't, because the classics mm-hmm. were exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
We need a new classic. We need a modern classic.
Mm-hmm.
We need to just accept that we are all humans just on the earth, just doing our best. And we need to make sure that everybody is seen and heard, yeah. so that everyone can recognize that there's value in all of us and all of our stories.
Yes.
Look, put that on a bumper sticker.
I was going to say, speak on it, Brittany. That was great. The last two questions that I love to wrap up the podcast with are as follows. One, if you could recommend a piece of black art, whether that's a film, a book, a musical album, you know, a Mariah Carey album, what would it be?
Go. Oh, that is so hard.
Oh, girl, the second one's harder, so buckle up.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So rude. I'm not going to give you any specifics.
Okay.
I'm going to say pick a genre and then do a little research about what started it. Because chances are it was a person of color that started the trend look at jazz. Look at rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Just pick a genre.
Yeah.
Get you some Langston Hughes.
Yeah.
Books, poetry. But I mean, talk about classics.
Ooh, talk about classics indeed. Yes. That's real. That's so real. I'll take that. Okay, so looking up the origins of genres,
mm-hmm.
and Langston Hughes, because Langston Hughes always.
Yeah.
Always.
The second question, I know you're gonna get upset, and I'm sorry. If you could give a shout out to a fellow Black artist, who would it be? It could be a top three. It could be a top five. It's not about being exclusive. It's about just elevating someone and giving them some love.
Okay, shout out to Viola Davis.
Yes, Viola.
For being the queen.
Yes.
And, I mean, that episode where she took off her wig and took off all her makeup on camera, mm-hmm. I have never felt so seen. I have I've never felt so vulnerable watching television.
Wow.
Like that. Oh my God. Shonda Rhimes.
Yes. Shonda.
I don't know why I'm looking at the computer. Shonda, if you can hear me, I'm ready. I'm ready. Just use me as you will. Just let me be your vessel and I will make you proud.
That was the sweetest thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. Yes, Shonda, get on it. She is ready.
And you said three? Or
sure.
You
were, as
you
many
just,
as you want.
Oh.
The original idea when I first started this question was one, but everyone's like, one? Are you serious? So we've like expanded.
I also just need to give a shout out to Adrian Warren and Daniel J. Watts.
Have you seen Tina already?
I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, I've known Daniel for a long time. I don't know Adrian that well, but just knowing their histories, and I mean, Daniel's done like 1,100 Broadway shows and
yeah.
It's like it's his time and like just, and I guess this can be my advice for all of you listening at home. I don't know why I just turned into my voiceover voice.
I love it.
Smooth jazz. Trust your journey, because you honestly never know where life is going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what experience is going to lead to what.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know how you are going to change in the process.
Yeah.
So, like, don't be married to any one thing about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just respect your own process and your own journey and trust that it's right.
Yeah.
Even when it's hard, because it gets hard.
And you'll end up where you're supposed to
be. You will.
Yeah.
And when it's your time, like, I truly, truly believe that what is for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my mantra when I go in and out of auditions.
Mm-hmm.
If it's mine, it's mine.
Because
then it frees me to be happy for other people when they get it.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful, beautiful way to live life. Absolutely. Y'all. What the hell? We just finished our episode with the first Black Linda. But also just like Brittany Johnson. Like, I love celebrating that you're the first Black Linda, but also you as an artist and you as a person are so amazing. And I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that we got to spend time together tonight. If folks want to follow your journey and get more of this love from you, where can they follow you?
Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Sunny Brittany with 2 T's and E-Y. And I think I have a Facebook page. I want to say it's Brittany Johnson Official or Official Brittany. You know, it's one of those. I will do better. and I'm in the process of getting my website up there, and there'll be some really fun things on there, some like really fun, I hope, ways to kind of get to know me as an artist and as a human. And so whenever that drops, that'll be BrittanyJohnsonOfficial.com, but it's not ready yet, so don't go.
Yeah,
but,
so chill out. Follow her on Instagram and she'll let you know when
I'll let you know.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so, so much for tonight.
Thank you so much.
It was wonderful, y'all. We celebrated season 4, The Glinda Way. You're welcome for that pun. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at CallAndResponseNYC and Twitter at CallResponseNYC. Until next time, y'all.